We want to take just a second to thank our sponsors who make this show possible. Super Lime Plus, an all-natural liquid lime that goes to work immediately to raise the pH of your soil for better hay and crop production with less weeds. And Indian Mountain ATV Park, located 11620 County Road 8, Piedmont, Alabama. You can find links to all these companies in the show notes.
I said, y'all got so used to your phones, y'all just won't be creative. I said, when we was in school, we were creative. I said, may not always been productively creative. Well, I went and got one of those big wooden two-screw clamps, you know. And I said, I showed it to them. I said, when I was in school, we were in a shop, and a kid asked, what is that? They didn't know what it was. And me, I just wasn't going to pass up a good opportunity. I said, oh, that's a hat sizer. See what size hat you wear. Sure enough. Yeah. I said, you play baseball? Yeah. Well, you need to know what size you're going to wear. So we put it on his head, and I said, just tell him when it gets tight.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Casey.
I'm Lamar.
So these boys was giving me a hard time about my shirt. So I just went and found a welding hat for him to wear so that he wouldn't have cornea
burn. Viz on board. You got retinal damage.
So am I going to have to take this thing off, y'all goofballs?
I think I can make it now.
I think what you're going to have to do is put a disclaimer on the first of the show. If you have potentially
sensitive light,
yeah. You might want to look away or get your welding hood.
Put a little disclaimer.
Or just put your thumb on one side. Hold the screen like that.
How about y'all just tell a story?
We can try. So, when we were young men, both of us went to school at Auburn, and I had a roommate, and he had a roommate, and both of them good guys, but they kind of moved on to different things and felt that me and Lamar didn't have roommates anymore. And being poor folks from North Alabama at Auburn University, we had to have a roommate to share the load, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Lamar, he had a little money saved up from showing calves, and I had
And hogs,
I'm sorry.
Hogs get looked down on.
I had good credit, so
perfect
the credit.
Perfect combination.
You know? Yeah. So Lamar was going to buy a trailer, and then I'm going to pay lot rent, power bill, that kind of stuff, and just kind of mooch off of him, basically, except I am paying my way. So we're going to start looking at trailers. And we look all over Auburn and all Gentilly, Ridgewood. We're looking everywhere, out in the woods, beside people's houses. Anything we can find, it looks like we can live in it. And we can live in anything, we found out.
We proved that.
So we found the oldest trailer in a little real estate agent showing us trailers, the oldest trailer in Ridgewood Trailer Park. It's on one of the front streets, man. It's prime. We walk in it, and it is old. What model was it?
1972. And it's been its entire life at Auburn being lived in.
By college.
Auburn students, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was wonderful. So we go in, kitchen's to the right, living room. We called it inline living. So we go down the hallway. We get down that hallway into the first bedroom. Used to be two bedrooms, and they'd taken the wall out, and Lamar goes in and walks into the closet, which is not a walk-in, but there's nothing in it right now. So he walks in and steps in the closet and falls through the floor.
Oh, my.
Just to my waist.
Just to his waist. Yeah, it wasn't like up to his head or anything. So he falls in up to his waist, and he looks up at the real estate agent standing in the trailer inside with it wrapped around him and says, we'll take it.
You'd be perfect.
The last thing she thought you were going to say.
Well, probably, but after spending a little time with us, you probably really wasn't as surprised as you think.
No.
So, yeah, that's where we kind of got started. That was in 99 when we got started hanging out full-time, I guess you'd say, yeah.
We both worked for the university for the swine unit. He worked on swine breeding side, and I worked on swine nutrition, and we'd kind of known each other through that. But so down there in and around Auburn, you know, if you're not in a fraternity, you know, you're not.
You ain't nobody.
Much, you know. So all these fraternities had the three letters, you know, and it's mm-hmm. it's very important that you got it.
Greek letters.
Greek, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we went with regular English letters, and he's Lamar Van, and I'm Big O. So our fraternity was LVO. And we even put it on a board and hung it up on the porch.
Nice.
That way everybody would know.
Now, to be honest, I wasn't being greedy in getting two, and he had one. We wanted, you know, to use both, but if we'd used both, it'd been LVBO. And we just really didn't want BO in
there. There's enough of that going on. Being a hog farmer, wasn't it?
In that trailer, BO was ramping in.
Yeah, he had a hard time with that anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
it was.
Speaking of hogs, we got a nice waft of hog guts earlier. It's nothing like good hog guts cooking in the morning.
Well, the annual chitlin cooking here in Cherokee County, and throughout this, you will hear Lamar refer to Cherokee County as the nation.
The nation.
And he's got a bunch of stories where.
The people of the nation.
He comes up here, and every time he comes, he says, "What is it? Things great to
wonderful to tell about.
Wonderful to tell about." So there's always some kind of major something that he sees when he's up here that he goes back and tells all them town folks in Springfield.
Yeah, because for 20 years, you know, more than that now.
25.
We've hung out, and I've been coming up here, and thank you, sir. And it's just. The nation is as unique as it can get. I mean, there's things here that's nowhere else. It's the nation. It's the Cherokee Nation. So, yeah,
What are those things?
Well, one is I'm here at the annual chitlin cooking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Let's just call a spade a spade. Isn't it?
You don't have to travel far in the nation to find what makes the nation nation.
The fabric, I think, is what they call it.
I have come and traded with its people. It is. It is wonderful.
What's your best trade?
Oh,
I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
Well, I'm just trying to think. I mean, it's just, let's see.
It had to happen. It might have been just outside of the nation, though. Over at Collinsville is probably where you made your best trade at.
No, Collinsville is that's for more of your civilized trade.
I understand. Was it metal good, leather good? What do you think?
It would probably be, it was metal. 100%, because I needed some more plow feet, and we knew a fella had some in the shed, and he said, "Go get all them we need." And
that was a good trade.
We walked around. We looked. Woo. It was great. He had one of the best scrap iron piles I've ever seen. It was legendary, and we found just exactly what we needed. And so, just like always, the nation gave. You know,
it just keeps on giving. Provided.
Yeah. So
I hate to prompt him. But tell them about when you were going home and the big bird was lighting in the road in front of you.
Oh, up here, yeah. I was traveling back, you know, out of the nation, back to, you know, the United States, towards Gadsden. And
he's leaving the territory and going back into the States.
And right there where they're working on the road, the old road was, you know, I'm lined up with the old road fixing to veer into the new road. And as I'm going, the sun's setting, and it's just straight in your eyes. And I'm squinting, I'm driving, got my visor down, got my hat pulled down. But I see something, and I couldn't. What is that? And I'm looking at the sun, and it's getting bigger. And it was a man flying one of those, a parasail, coming down the road. And I'm in a one-ton truck going towards him. And for the first time in my life, I was like, I don't know how this is going to end. But it turns out he was landing in the old road. But with that sun, I couldn't get... Because when you're looking at a man in the sky, which most of us haven't seen him much, thank goodness, it's hard to get a perspective on distance. And so I didn't know how that was going to end. But thankfully, he landed in front of me just as I veered. But we weren't that far apart. I could see him clearly when he landed. And I immediately called B.O. I said, I hadn't even got out of the nation, and it gives me one more gift just before I get to the Etowah County line.
I know who would have won that fight.
I think, but I'm, you know, when you're in the nation,
you never know.
That's the thing. It's like you.
Oh,
pretty
I know.
Sure,
I know who won.
But
that
you're
fight.
Never real sure.
Just not sure.
Yeah. So.
So Lamar comes from a long line of storytellers. And Joe and pranksters. His dad and uncle were the greatest pranksters ever. Mm-hmm. They had a wooden box, and this wooden box had a teddy bear on a spring in it, and it looked like a trap. And when they'd raise that door up so high,
you had spring loaded, so
I'm sorry.
It was a mongoose. So that's what it said on the box, anyway. And it had an open part that had like a net wire where you could look down in it, and they had some old chicken bones and stuff in there. And this was in the 80s. This was before the internet. And somebody may have heard of a mongoose, you know, National Geographic or something. They'd go around, y'all ever seen a mongoose? They catch cobras, them baddest things on earth. Sure enough, yeah. And so they'd get it out. And the way the lid opened back towards the open side. So you'd be over there looking in that open side, and there was a little hole where he went into the enclosed part, and you're trying to look. And they had it on a spring, like an old door screen door spring that would open. And they had it where all they had to do was bump it, and the latch would let go. And then when they let their stick off of it, because they'd act like it's bumping on it, going to get him come out, it would throw it. And it was on that string, so it would release it. And it'd hit you right in the chest if you were standing looking in it.
I got to have one.
Let me tell you right now.
The best.
They got me with it, and they're good folks. I mean, they no foolishness other than jokes and prankster. And they got me with it, and I did well controlling myself. I screamed and hollered, but I didn't use any foul language. Well, about a year later, I had another buddy of ours from South Alabama, and they got him with it. And when they got him with it, he let off a big old long string of ugly words. And I'm telling you right now, it was gold.
Oh, yeah.
He was mad because they'd scared him. And they were all sitting there looking at him like Lee Trevino in the Happy Gilmore.
Can't line. Believe you just said that. He's saying that his words didn't even go together.
Oh, yeah, no. He was putting things together nobody ever heard.
Yeah, he's conjugating cuss words. I didn't even know it was possible.
Conjugating.
Yeah. It was... But that, you know, that kind of stuff, that was just standard. I told my class the other day, we were talking about being creative, and I said, y'all got so used to your phones, y'all just won't be creative. I said, when we was in school, we were creative. I said, may not always been productively creative. Well, I went and got one of those big wooden two-screw clamps, you know, and I said, I showed it to them. I said, when I was in school, we were in a shop, and a kid asked, what is that? They didn't know what it was. And me, I just... wasn't going to pass up a good opportunity. I said, oh, that's a hat sizer. See what size hat you wear. Sure enough, yeah. I said, you play baseball? Yeah, well, you need to know what size you're going to wear. So we put it on his head, and I said, just tell him when it gets tight. And he told me, and I just act like I didn't hear it. And you can put a good bit of pressure on somebody with one of them two-handle wooden screws.
Yes. You pop their head.
Yeah, well, I didn't do that.
Crack.
Roughed them up a little. It was funny, though. Skull but I told fracture. Them kids, I said, no, you can't do that because I've already done that. But, you know, be creative. I think the practical joke is a great form of expression.
Yes. Amen.
I love it. It is, unless you are the
receiver. Yeah.
I feel like I'm setting Lamar up here a lot, but I want him to tell one of the main stories that tickles me more than anything he's ever told is about a guy that worked with his dad and picking okra.
It's childhood.
And I've got – I mean, every time I hear it, I laugh till I'm just hurt.
Well, hold on a minute. Have you ever seen a man's eyes sweat?
Oh, yeah, big O. Yeah.
I've never seen a man's eyes sweat. Look at his eyes.
You know, I didn't even have to look. I knew exactly who he was talking about. Yeah.
He said it is 40 degrees in here.
No, you're wearing a hoodie.
No, look, that's 100 thermometers.
A good heavy shirt. I'm wearing. What do they say, man?
62 degrees.
62.
With 100% humidity.
With 62 degrees. And this man is pouring sweat from his eyeballs.
I'm in here hugging up, loving on y'all. We're all sitting here so tight.
All right, now that I know he's going to be okay.
He's all right. Yeah, okay. That's normal.
That's normal. Yeah. Okay. Come back in July. I'll still get put on the show.
Yeah, when he stops sweating, that's when you got to worry.
That's okay. When you worry. When you worry. Yeah. He done got dehydrated at that.
Yeah. So, Strouty, and I've never heard that name before, but that was.
Kind of like Shawty, but with a T.
Strouty.
Go Strouty.
Yeah. Go Strouty.
It's your birthday.
That's right.
So, and Strouty. Strouty.
His cousin.
Yeah, probably.
Was he part of the nation?
No.
No, he wasn't part of the nation.
To the best of my knowledge, Strouty moved around a lot, but I don't know that he was ever up here. He was from, if he had been a wrestler, he would have went with Parts Unknown in his introduction.
Georgia Championship Wrestling.
But Strouty worked for my dad and uncle and their father. My grandfather, Van, he passed away before I come along, and they truck farmed. And back then, you most of the restaurants and grocery stores in Birmingham bought their produce fresh at the farmer's market. And so they would plant acres of okra because nobody else wanted to. Well, my grandfather, he didn't mind it because he had them two boys to pick it. So, you know, and you picked it every other day, rain or shine, didn't care. My dad and uncle would not eat a bite of okra. They said they didn't have nothing against it. They liked the taste of it. They wouldn't eat it. They said if everybody quit eating it, then nobody had to pick it. Mm-hmm. And that was there.
So just for any town folks that might be watching this, okra is an evil plant. And okra will sting you and burn, you know, sting you and burn you and itch you to death. It's worse than anything in the garden.
It's like picking fiberglass insulation.
Exactly. Okay.
You know how many times you pick in a short sleeve shirt?
Never.
Once.
Never.
Well, we'll get to that.
Here comes the story.
So Stroudy was picking okra for them, and my dad was there kind of overseeing the okra picking crew. And they'd hired a couple more because they had like 3 or 4 acres of okra to pick. And they were picking it, and Stroudy didn't have a shirt on. And did that every 2 days. Would just come out there and just wade through that okra with no shirt.
Toughest man alive.
And
he was part of the nation. You just didn't know it.
No, this is a different kind. Best I can go is just Georgia Championship Wrestling, parts unknown. I mean, I don't want to give him any credit to nowhere. Stroudy's just a legend. And so they were talking about it, and they said, man, I don't know, how does that not eat you up? And he's motioning to you. Your microphone, my little buddy, is just slowly drooping down.
Mr. Technology.
It was just, I told you.
Right here in the middle of my Stroudy story.
We're gonna go back and
start over.
I may leave this just because it might be funny to look at, but
as it just,
but we're.
You're good.
You're good.
Is it staying this time?
Yeah, I think you're good.
I thought I was going crazy. I know I'd already adjusted that thing twice. But, all right, Stroudy. It's your birthday.
Stroudy was picking okra. And listen at me try to say okra. Mm. Okra for everybody. And they were picking. And one of the other fellas they were talking about, and Stroudy just no shirt, just picking. And they're like, that's going to kill you. He's like, I do it every day. You know, it's no big deal to me. And my dad was there. He was picking with him. And that other fella that was kind of new, he said, there ain't no way. He said, yeah. Well, they just kept kind of going back and forth. Well, finally, as folks will do, Stroudy just declared, I could take my pants off and straddle a row. Mm-mm. Now, okra grows head high. So for him to straddle it, he's going to have to ride it down.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I can pick a row from one end to the other with no britches.
Golly, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
Well, my dad's over there just listening. Well, Stroudy was so hard-headed, and this other fella, likewise.
Daring him.
The talk of money come up, how much it'd take. Well, the fella met Stroudy's demand. Well, the next thing my dad hears is, when we get to the end to turn back, Daddy said, no, I got to stop this.
Frank squashed
it. He said, first off, you probably can do it, because he knew you had to appease Stroudy. He said, but if you can't, I've got to have you to pick this okra 2 days from now. And if you do that, we may not find you 2 days from now.
He'd be sitting in the creek.
Yeah.
So that ended the okra picking challenge. But he did pick it every day with no shirt on, or every other day. And he did declare that. But, you know, but now Stroudy, can I tell about the cat surgery?
Sure, tell it.
Yeah. Well,
we can always cut it.
Yeah,
they
cut it.
Okay.
So we never had, but the resolve, we never tried it.
We never tried it. Frank stopped it because Stroudy was a good hand.
Clearly, just misguided.
But tough, just on another level of tough and possibly, you know.
Yeah.
But he was going to do it. I mean, he was going, just like when you hear a kid, you know, if you've ever had two kids, you know, kind of like, I bet I can't. And you hear that and you get scared. Like,
yeah, oh, somebody's going to try it.
Yeah, triple
dare.
He was
fixing to do it. Mm-hmm. And Daddy was like, I've got to have him pick his okra. And, you know.
Because I'm waiting for that. I'm thinking, if that's part of this story, I'm ready.
No, he would still be out there somewhere in the woods.
Man.
I mean, it would just be the legend.
I mean, your arms will sting for 30 minutes, 45 minutes after you finish picking. I can't imagine the other.
And how much have you ever picked?
Enough.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, could you measure it in acres?
No, yards, maybe?
Maybe. That's me. I've never, you know, feet, maybe, because I hate okra picking it.
Yeah.
But, he was going to pick, you know, a row that was probably 100 yards long.
He had made the determination that I'm tougher than you.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's exactly what I thought.
Well, Now, this did
carry
happen.
Carry on. I'm sorry.
So they had a barn tomcat that had come of age and needed to have some of his worries in the world removed.
It's mm-hmm. a great way to put it.
If one little surgery, you know, he would only have to worry about eating then. Before that, he had two things to worry about after the surgery. He only has to worry about eating.
Right.
So Straudy declares, I can hold him while y'all do that surgery. And, of course, Daddy and Uncle Mick was game for that because a cat ain't going to kill him. So, you know, so Straudy, and my dad had big old hands, and he always said that Straudy's hands were bigger than his. He must have just had just like baseball glove hands, you know. Well, he got this cat up and just kind of held it like a running back coming through the line.
And in the bread basket.
And kind of, you know, like, you know, over here, Big O was the surgeon on this deal. Turned the business in right there and said, all right, go ahead. And my uncle was usually the surgeon on our crew. And so out with his knife and not got done with it. And Straudy just let the cat down when it was over. Just fine.
No scratches.
Held a grown tomcat.
While he had surgery performed.
That'd be like.
Was there any anesthesia involved? Any lidocaine, anything? Or
just them big old hands.
Just them hands.
But now, I saw it done. I didn't see that. Now, Straudy was before my time. But I did witness it one time. And this is going to sound like made up, just like all this other. But I promise you. And Big O will know who I'm fixing to talk about. Mm-hmm. But my Uncle Mick was.
Dundee.
Unbelievably tough.
No, Mick Dundee had run from this guy. He was a man.
Mick, he was 81. I was figuring on it this morning. He had been 81 or 82 at the latest. We had the same situation. We had a tomcat, and I said, well, here, I'll get a bag. You know, if you've never cut one on the farm, a toe sack, you know, that's your general anesthesia. But he said, I believe I can hold it. And I don't know if he was, he's passed on now, gone to his heavenly reward. And I wondered if he just, you know, remembered Straudy doing that and was like, you know, I ain't going to be bested. Mm-hmm. And I said, are you sure? Because my dad had passed away by then. I kind of was, my uncle didn't have any children. So I was kind of, you know, and I really don't have to go to the ER and try to explain, you know, why my uncle's there. And
yeah, because Mick's going to tell him exactly what happened.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I'm going to have to try to beat him to the punch and try to calm it down.
Curb the situation.
Yeah. But he said, no, I can do it. He said, you're knife sharp. And if Mick asks if you're knife sharp, it better shave because his did. And so that's what he expected. I said, it is. And that's the reason I carry a two-blade knife because I use one, and I keep one just razor sharp just for exhibition purposes only. And
just to show off.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only reason. It's a two-blade trapper in my pocket right now, and I guarantee
he wants to show it to you so bad he can't stand it.
I'll show you it. No,
I mean, it's time. Man. But, it's exhibition mode.
But he same thing. He got it up and held it and kind of put his head in the crook of his arm, and same thing. You know, all right.
It'd be like trying to do surgery on a running skill saw if I tried.
Yeah. And so I did.
Just a little.
Two little cuts. And he set him down. By next morning, he was there ready for leftover biscuits. Old cat was. He was hunky-dory, you know. But
so you've seen it done twice.
I know.
Successfully.
Or
you saw it done
I've
heard of it done successfully.
That's the only two I've ever heard of. I ain't never heard of anybody insane enough to try it. And but I probably will. You know, when I get up about 80, I've done figured I'll call Big O. Come on down here.
I got a cat we need to
you know,
take care of.
Yeah.
Of all the stories that I thought might be told today.
Not that.
Mm-hmm. Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Big O, last time we were here, you serenaded us. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. And Facebook community just raved and raved, trying to find tickets to your show and everything. And But that's not the only time you've ever sang.
No, no. when my friend Lamar here got married, he requested, he was looking for a serious country artist and couldn't find anybody, so he called me. And my wife and I sang, what's Chris LeDoux's song?
Copenhagen.
Look at You, Girl, maybe?
Look at You, yep, that was it.
So we go down that night, and he, tiny little country church, and all of the little ladies in the church, they turn out for anything that's happening at the church. So they came for the rehearsal. So we've got two pews full of sweet little ladies sitting there, and they're, oh, they're just pressed. They've hugged everybody's neck as they come in, made us introduce, trying to claim kin. They know somebody from Cherokee County. You know, it's a wonderful time. And we had a good time there. We get ready to start rehearsing the wedding. And it comes time for me and April to sing. And I had elbowed my wife, and she's been around our foolishness for years, you know. So she was like, oh, boy, here we go. I said, just hold on a minute. Let me do something right here. And
and follow my lead.
No, don't follow. No, because you don't want to get in that mess. But she understood what I was saying, and it come time for me to for us to sing. And I start singing Oak Ridge Boys. Oh, I wish you could have turned my head and left my heart alone. And all them little old ladies got mad as anybody you've ever seen. Because they thought that was fixing to be in that wedding, in that church that they had grown up in for 100 years. So, but it ended up being really funny. But when I looked out there and I saw their faces, I thought, man, I have really messed up
here. I better stop here.
But it was, and Lamar turned around, welcome to my world. It's nuts come down here to sing at my wedding. But it was, it turned out good. And of course, April does an excellent job, and it was real good. But
she does a real good job. Big O hoses on.
I was there.
I was just impressed.
He did pretty good.
That was really good.
Don't be impressed.
Shane sang the other night on Alive.
I had to.
What'd
they
you
just
sing?
Kept on.
Oh, Ship Is Thine. Y'all want to sing it together?
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Come on.
I don't see harmony. Strouty.
You can't dare me.
Yeah.
I ain't going to pick okra with my pants off, and I ain't going to sing no more than I have to.
Lamar and I, we'll hold. Y'all get started.
Yeah.
Y'all just get started. Is he knife sharp?
How long, Big O Mine?
This is pretty sharp. What about your exhibition knife? Is it?
Let's see. He's
going to pull it out here.
Oh, a blue one.
Them blue ones.
I've been cutting summer sausage and bologna with that. But now this one here.
That one right there will cut you, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Don't look at it. It'll cut your eye.
I had that one so sharp the other day. I was standing outside in the sun just admiring it, and I had to get new boots because I was looking at it, and I moved like that, and the shadow of that blade cut the toe of my boot
cut the toe of it.
Oh, so, man, I had to get new boots.
You better watch those Lou Cases you just bought, too.
I had some of them roll up on the front. I'm just trying them out.
They still have the snake head on the part
You better watch it. You had retinal damage in that other eye.
No,
Y'all want me to take this off?
No.
Okay. I love it.
Oh, we're halfway through now.
I love it. This eye's just about quit watering.
That's because it's lost all vision.
It's mostly because, I can't feel it. But
tell them about the guy. We're not going to give names, but we'll just call him Big Whack. So Big Whack.
We can't come up with anything better than that if we're going to make up a name.
It's Big Mac. Big Whack.
No, it's Whack.
It's Whack with a W.
Yeah.
So
W.
This guy was a great friend of ours. If I could call him, I could call him right now and say, hey, I'm broke down in Bangor, Maine, and he'd tear the tires off his truck coming up here to get me. Great guy. But we played jokes on him all the time because it was kind of an easy target, and we're not real smart, so we had to find easy targets to work our jokes.
Well, what made it easy wasn't so much him, it was the situation. He was one of our few friends that lived by himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've ever watched, Discovery or Animal Planet, they're going to pick that gazelle that's out there by itself. It was just, bless his heart. He was as good a guy as you, but he, man, for somebody that, come from a line of it, it's just hard. But
you could tell Lamar sometimes would get to aching to go play a joke on Big Whack. It'd just get on him. He just had to figure out something to do to the Big Whack.
Like an addiction.
It was.
Or anybody.
That's what sounded like when you were describing it.
It is. It really is. But on this particular night, we were, and the best is when you when everything just comes together, you know. Mm-hmm. And we were going over to his house, and I looked on the dash of a big old truck, which was a straight pipe old Ford because from he's the from the nation. Mm-hmm. And because they don't sell mufflers in Cherokee County. But
if they do, they get cut off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can buy them pre-cut. That way you just leave them on the sidewalk. And
perforated mufflers.
Yeah. And so we was pulling around through there, and I look on the dash, and for whatever reason, there was one of them little 25-pack or 24, whatever they are, of firecrackers. You know, the little packs, you know, that's just got one.
The sampler.
Yep, it's got one. It's, you know, it's about that big.
Because I was too cheap to buy the big one.
And I saw that, and I said, hold on, Big O. Park about two trailers from the big wag. But we pulled in, and, you know, all them trailers and them trailer parks, you know, it's not like this. You know, we're stacking them, you know. And so we parked about two up. He said, what you going to do? I said, come on. So we get that pack of firecrackers. And, Big O knew a guy that smoked a little back in. And so he had a fire. He always kept a lighter, so if anybody needed to borrow one. And so we got it. And we lit them firecrackers, and we flipped them right up under, you know, them old steps on them porch, on them trailers, just a little, and they landed just right under, just poof. We hid around the other side of the trailer next to him. We like the Stooges. I was hunkered down. Big O was over me, you know. And them firecrackers went out, boom, 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 boom. And between them trailers, it just echoed. And so we saw the door. He had one of them security chains on it, and we could just see one eye. He opened that door. One eye. And we let the dust settle a little bit, and then we went back to the truck, and we pulled up, and you would hear that loud truck, so we was just getting there. And we went in. He went telling about all this ruckus that had been out there. Oh, sure enough. And then I swung that door open. I give him what for.
I had my cow stick in my hand. I went out there in the yard. I was looking. I was fixing to whoop somebody. Well, we were both like, really?
Were you?
Tell us again.
Well.
Lamar couldn't let it.
I let it go. Yeah. That time.
Yeah, you did.
When we went on to a little establishment down at Auburn Joe the Duck, we was sitting around shooting the breeze.
Eating 10-cent wings. We'll get back to that in a minute, wings. Too.
Oh. I didn't even know how much it was. I just handed him a five.
You could get just Founder.
That's a bunch.
Founder for $5.
Well, I'd get a fountain drink, and I'd just hand it to him. Say, I want a fountain drink. Never how many wings this is. Never knew. I just knew I was full. But we're sitting there. He had done told his story. Same exact. I come out there. And about the third telling, I broke.
He couldn't take it no more.
I said, I don't like really believe you did
quail.
That.
He blew up.
Yeah. I said, I don't really believe you did that.
And I was like, Lamar.
Then we had to come clean it. We's the ones that did it. We owe him a lot, really.
Yeah, we do.
So what did Big Wax say when you finally fessed up?
He didn't want to accept it until we said, we were looking at you. We stood there and watched
I saw
you.
The eyeball
we could see
in the
chain with the eyeball right on it. And I'm going to tell you right now, though, it was bad. We shouldn't have done him that way. But like I said, we owe him a lot.
Yeah.
But what did he say when you called him out and the truth is on the table? Is there for everybody?
Well, everybody that was there was all friends, so it was just kind of one of them.
Chopped it up to y'all being.
Yeah.
And being stupid.
Oh,
We would pull so many jokes and stuff at Auburn, and we'd put things in people's yard and such that if anybody did something, the big orange. Mm-hmm. We had this big old orange swivel chair that was like old school 70s. You know, it's like it's actually round. And somebody had it put on their porch. Well, they just immediately loaded up and brought it to our house and throwed it out on our porch. And we didn't even do this one. Like, we would get blamed for stuff we didn't even do because that one turned out to be good because we just left it on the porch and it became known as Big Orange. And it was the most comfortable chair that we had. But it, you know, like all good trailer inhabitants, we had some inside furniture on the outside. And,
sure.
You know.
We when we moved to Auburn, I don't know if y'all did, but up here we didn't have armadillos. Did you have them?
No, not at that time.
We didn't have armadillos. So when we got to Auburn and realized that there's a critter here that don't have any teeth, that can't really hurt me, and I can catch that thing by the tail, and I've got something that ain't going to hurt me but scares everybody, that's wonderful. Well, it backfired on us. So I'm sitting there one night. He's sitting over there on his couch. We had two couches, and we laid on them couches and watched.
In a 12-foot wide trailer that me and him lived in, we had two couches.
We could reach out and grab each other's hand if we
would have handed the remote. Like we'd be laying there watching. What's? I don't like you. Well, here you go. Find something else. So we could hand across the whole living room.
So, and just to kind of add a little more background to the trailer, I had a border collie, and he had an Australian Shepherd, and all four of us, us and the dogs, worked on the hog farm. Long-haired dogs on the hog farm. And we all just, we was there together, baby, in our wonderfulness.
But when you stink, I mean.
That's what y'all keep talking about, these chitlins. I ain't caught a whiff of nothing.
Well, you can't smell.
There we go.
There's one coming
in. That's a flying chitlin.
So
it just smells like.
So we're laying in there one night on our couches. It's dark. It's not nighttime, but it's, you know, it's dark wintertime, so it's like 4:30. You know how it does. Boom, 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 boom. Knock on the door, and we hear footsteps. Boom, run off. Well, I go out there, and I open the door, and I look, and there's a box sitting there. Box. Ain't no telling what's in this box.
No, hold on. Y'all remember them old commercials where the guy would walk up and there's a button on the wall that said, do not push, and he would push it and the cannon would shoot him? I don't even know what that's advertised. Just remember that.
If it said,
this will kill you, Big O would sit there like this, looking at it.
Well, I got
it. And he'd have to go over and punch it. So anyway.
The tops, you know how you weave the top of a box? It's not taped. It's just kind of weaved together. I start opening it up, and about the time I get it open enough to realize what it is, and not expecting, I don't know why, should have expected it, there's an armadillo looking at me. Well, I scream like a woman, fall back in the trailer. Lamar gets that.
The term I like is squalled. He squalled out.
He said, what's the matter with you? Because you can't scare him. You can go in there when he's asleep, and you can, like, turn on sirens and scream and grab him, and he'll open his eyes and say, what you need? I mean, you can't scare him.
All right. I'm scared. I'm just as scared as everybody else. But being raised by Frank Mick,
you panic, you die.
You know, a jokester thrives on the reaction.
That's right.
I'm stealing that reaction. I'm not giving you that reaction ever.
It's the best I've ever seen at it. And I'm the worst.
You're well trained.
I'm gonna scream and run over somebody and get away.
I loved it every time.
Anyway, so I run back in. He said, what is it? I said, armadillo in that box out there. Oh, sure enough. I said, yeah, well, we had a pretty good idea who it was because we had this one guy named P.I. that was a wildlife capturer, so to speak. And matter of fact, he met his wife catching an armadillo.
Holding an armadillo. No shirt, like no Stroudy, but he had a pair of overalls.
And barefooted. Anyway, so P.I., we figured, left it there. So we go then, how are we going to get P.I.? So we go and we take the armadillo, and one of us holds it while the other one ties up a harness for it.
Because you can't put a halter or a collar on an armadillo because it's just shaped like a wedge. Yeah, a cone. So, yeah, so you got to go a harness. I didn't know if y'all ever needed to tie one up, but you can go ahead and skip the step of the collar.
The leprosy kept me away from them, but go ahead.
Yeah, that is something to think about. So we took the...
But have you ever seen how funny an armadillo is?
No, I'm serious. When they said leprosy, and as much as I've read in the Bible about leprosy, I said, I don't want to be a part of them.
But they're real funny. But go ahead.
So we tie up the harness, we take the armadillo, and we tie it to the door of P.I.'s truck. Later at night, like at night. Tie the harness up. So in the morning, when P.I. opens the door on his truck, he pulls the armadillo out under his feet. And we never did really get any results. He's kind of like Lamar. He'll steal your joy on the reaction. You know, he's not going to let you know you got him, but we got him. We know we got him.
Talking about we lived in those trailers, and P lived behind us on the street behind us. So there was our trailer and another row of trailers. So it was a little bit of space. And we had
a yard.
Yeah, our yard. It was mostly, we got a pretty good trail of privet opened up where they could walk. And we had acquired a couple of fairly large foothold traps and just had them hanging on the porch there. And we make a little money on a bet on them. But we told P.I. that we'd been having a lot of trouble with varmints, and we had set a bunch of them in back there behind our trailer. And, man, you can't do that. These folks, they said, I walk through there all the time. And I'm like, well, you ain't been caught yet, so it's all right. Well, we hadn't set nothing back there. But we told him.
We wanted him to think that he did.
And so we're sitting on the porch one night, and he's fixing to leave, and somebody's with him, and they're going to walk back to his trailer, and he goes, step right where I step. He had took it hook, line, and sinker, and he didn't know where they was, but he knew where they was. And so he had him.
He was willing, barefooted, to take a chance, because he never wore any shoes unless he's going to school, because they wouldn't let him come to class barefooted. And he'd walk down through there, and he had the same footprints. He walked back and forth. And I'm not talking about he came over there once a month. He came three times a day.
I mean, it wore out.
Walking this trail. And every trip he made, he's thinking, there's a trap right here.
There's a trap right
there. And ain't nothing back there.
Yeah, but he knew where they was.
It was one.
He had it beat out so good. We called it the If Lander Trail. There's a little steel trap hanging under that hat right there. And, you know, that's like a foothold, you know, what most people think, bear trap, you know. And we was talking about making a little money with a trap. And we wasn't trapping four people. What we would do is we'd get that trap and set it, sit there on the floor, and everybody, oh, my God. And you could, you know, hit that pan, wham, it'd slap shut. Well, you do it a time or two, and everybody kind of gets impressed how fast it is. And
I see a challenge coming.
And so after a few minutes, I go, I think I can set that with my finger and not get caught. Well, when you look at me, I know most of you, as soon as I walked up, you went, oh, there's an athlete.
That right but there has
I thought she's real fast. Cat-like
reflexes.
Yeah.
She looks fast.
But, I mean, if you've ever seen a trap slap shut, even.
That boy can run.
You know, you can't. So I said it, and I do a few practice runs, and I had Lamar. I don't think he can do that. And Big O hit.
We can probably do it. You can't.
So you got to build up. Well, next thing you know, there's a dollar says you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And another dollar join in over there.
I'd throw in, too, because I knew I was going to get
my
money
back. He's going to get his back anyway.
Yeah, y'all had a split worked out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was all. And so we would get, once the pot got big enough, I think I can do it. Well, all you have to do is just flip that one side up that's not under the dog, under the trigger over, and then you just hit it with your finger. Just like you said you would. Now, there's some folks lost their dollar and got mad, but I did exactly what I said I was going to do. And then we went and ate crystals because they was cheap back in. And
Our 10 cent wings.
There was a few. They got pretty heated a time or two.
But that goes back to, you got to understand your crowd.
Yeah, you don't want no heavy hitters over there scamming them out of a dollar.
You don't want it.
But Shane reminded me, you were going to tell us something about 10 cent wings at the Duck.
Oh, yeah. So,
I like a good chicken wing story.
Well, and that basically, what we were talking about, we would go to the Duck, and $5, you know, you could just absolutely eat till you were sick for $5. And, you know, kids, they get excited when it's dollar wings. And I'm like,
I didn't eat wings for years just because I was mad at how high they were.
I could get 10 wings, you know. For it's just this changing times, you know, that was the main part of that story, just how things have changed. You know, and there's a research study, to my understanding, that they did at Auburn University in the 50s or something, trying to breed the wings off the chickens.
Yeah, trying to get rid of them.
Because nobody wanted them. It was a waste product.
Yep.
And
that was just wasting energy for a chicken to grow wings.
They were wasting feed growing them wings, and if they could get that to grow that breast and the legs and stuff.
Now it's a multi-billion.
And now it's the most expensive part of the bird. Yeah, it's crazy.
I think you could still get foots for 10 cents a piece.
Yeah, now foots are cheap.
Yeah.
Paws, I think, is what they're labeled as in the grocery store. That's the
industry term, paws.
Yeah. All right, would y'all rather eat a chicken foot or a chitterling?
Chitlin.
I know. Well, I say that. I always say I know what them foot step in, but.
You know what's been traveling through that chitlin, too.
I'm talking about that's that delivery
is,
unit.
Right it away. Is a hallway is all that thing is.
But, the I mean, I'm at the point, you know, I'll try. If somebody, I mean, I ain't going to eat that.
So will this be your first chitlin cooking?
Yeah, for somebody who grew up on a hog farm and everything.
Somebody just, that's visited the nation this much.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's just, you know, it's something every time. You don't want to come up here
and experience it all at once.
Yeah. It's like if the first time you went to Disney World, you said, I'm just going to live here for a month. Well, then you never, you know, you've seen everything.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it gives every time.
Well, we had a lot of fun hearing about y'all's shenanigans today. Truly good. I mean, some things that we covered, some topics we had not covered yet.
Armadillos.
Refreshing. Hairy dogs and hog farms.
Mm. The great nation.
Ooh, that may be the title of this. Hairy dogs and hog farms.
Mm.
That's a good one.
It's hard to beat.
I'm clicking. I got to know about that. So maybe I'm going to have to write that down. But now it's time for scripture time. So if we would, let's remove our hats so we don't get any trouble, cause somebody to stumble.
Amen.
We talked about this for just a second. Big O. Oops, sorry, I'm drifting a little
That's
bit.
Okay. You no, got a handle on it.
Glad your microphone stopped drifting.
Yeah, I got drifting chair, drifting microphone this week. So 2 Thessalonians 3, and I'm going to read 10 and 11. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. So this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to a body of believers, a church. And he's saying, I've heard that some of y'all ain't willing to work. You ain't doing anything, but not only are you not willing to work, you're out there sowing discord in your time that you should have been working and causing trouble, being a busybody. Tell me some things, like even today, this applies. What are some negative side effects to somebody who's unwilling to work and out there sowing discord?
I think within the walls of a church, it would be like, somebody's sowing discord, and the pastor needs to be at the hospital caring and making sure that his people are being ministered to. He needs to be out spreading the gospel. He needs to be just going to the Baptist Association meeting or whatever meeting to make sure that his church is staying up to date with what the Baptist Association expects out of his church. But instead, what he gets to do is deal with problems over things that do not matter in the grand scheme of the things in the church. So you get a pastor who, and also that leads to him being frustrated with the church. My son works with a guy who was a Baptist preacher, and he is out of the ministry now because of this very thing.
Really?
Yes. He is out of the ministry. He has fell out with the organized worship of God.
Wow.
And it was from carrying that load of a church in discord. So, and it breaks my heart. But anyway, that's kind of a side note. But going back to the very first part of that, that's one of my favorite verses. And funny, where I got that verse and it became ingrained in me is it's printed on my knife sharpener that I bought 20 years ago that I use. And it had that verse on it. So when I bought the knife sharpener and I was using it for a week or two, and I looked, I said, I wonder what that verse is. So I looked it up and read it. And that's been, you know, that's kind of what needs to get us going and make sure we're moving in the right direction. And it says those who do not work do not eat. I don't know that that means you got to get up and go to the salt mine and chip salt all day, but I do think that it means you need to have your feet moving in the business of what the Lord's intended you to do, whether that be teach school or whether that be make sure all the buses are rolling down the road or preaching the gospel.
Well, you said you don't know whether it means it doesn't speak specifically to what type of work, but it also doesn't speak to exactly how you're going to eat. And I think that along the same lines is you won't eat spiritually if you're not working as well. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, and I honestly, I've heard that verse like most of us, but it was like most good things, that second part I never really paid attention to. You know, the discord, you know, is kind of like that joke, you know, when, you know, when Big O walks up to help you, it's like two good fellas left. You know, some folks, when they're there,
you're pulling their weight too.
You're worse off. And we don't want to be that person in the church, you know, there or anywhere. You've been places I've never been there, but I've heard a lot of people, places I have been, they said, well, this one fella would show up and it just got worse. And mm-hmm. I never could figure out who they was talking about. But, but it could have been. Now to think about it. But, you know, I think a lot of times in the church, you know, like he's talking about, you know, a preacher's job is hard enough. You know, we don't need to create extra trouble. And that's what he's talking about. You know, not only you ain't doing nothing, you're causing trouble. Somebody that ain't doing nothing is bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
At least don't do nothing.
Yeah, there you go.
My grandmother's gone on to her reward. She's one of the biggest influences in my life. And she had a phrase that she used, and she could focus on her business and what she needed to do for her family better than anybody I know. And the reason was, the thing that she said more than anything is, son, quit borrowing trouble. We got enough trouble of our own.
Mm-hmm.
So borrowing trouble is something that's always stuck with me. And I think that has a lot to do with that verse right there and why it's always kind of been ingrained in me.
One of the best lessons my dad ever taught me, and he says this quite often, is when you're tired, you ain't got enough energy to mind other people's business or to get into trouble. When I'm not tired, when I got a lot of energy, as a young man, that's when I was getting in trouble. And so he would always say, them boys ain't got a long enough okra hoe. They don't have a long enough row of okra to hoe.
Or pick with no breeches.
Or to pick with no breeches. You go to picking or working a long row of okra. When you get through, I ain't gonna cause no trouble.
At the end of that day, you don't care what Trump said, what Putin said, what anybody said.
Mm-mm.
You just want to get in that house and
mind my business.
Mind my business.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Just sitting down is good after a day's work.
Amen.
It's that chair looks real nice mm-hmm. when you've been up all day.
And that same, we're talking about physical labor, but the same goes when you're working for the Lord, when you're doing the Father's business. When good days work in his business, and you can sleep at night.
What about that peace?
You can sleep, right?
You know, and that's
irreplaceable.
Yes.
You know, and it's the same in a lot of ways. Like, you know, hoeing that row of okra, you're going to be tired, but you've accomplished something. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got good sense at the end of the day and you've accomplished something, you feel like you've done something. And the same thing, if you feel like you've done something for the Lord, mm-hmm. You know, whatever, little. I mean, I'm not a preacher. I wasn't cut out for that by no means. But anytime you can do something, you might be tired, but you'll be so tired. And then I think part of that rest is, like, talking about that peace, man. Yeah. You can sit down.
Well, and it gives you the opportunity to not be looking at, well, I'm going to see what Phillip's doing. I want to see what Lamar's doing. Oh, you know what? Big O ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing. If you busy and you working, you ain't worried about what everybody else is doing, and that keeps discord to a minimum. There's no other way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful lesson. It's hard to not worry about what people are doing, and especially like when you're in a shop. Or I was in nursing for a long time. Huh. Where I worked at one time, all the assignments, everybody's assignments was on one sheet of paper, so you could look and see what everybody else was doing. They would overlook their name to get to somebody else's.
Say what they were doing.
So they're worried to death about what, well, they only have this much to do today. They only have this much to do today and not even know what they're doing yet.
Mm-hmm. It's keeping score.
And so what I'm saying is what does that do? Your peace is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have any satisfaction in what you call to do.
Right.
It's just amazing. But it's a hard lesson learned. It's human. It's part of one of those things. So I'm not throwing stones. I've been there. I'll probably do it again. But just know there ain't no peace in it.
Mm-hmm.
No peace in it. One word game. Lamar, start us out, and it's going to go down the line and back around.
So I'm starting like a sentence.
Just start a sentence.
One word.
Would.
Eat the.
Most.
Chitlins.
If.
I.
Had.
More.
Sense.
Period.
I thought we could have went longer than that.
I had my name. Hot sauce. That's what I had on my word. If it made it back to me, it's going to be hot sauce.
But then that'd have been two words. You'd be disqualified.
It'd be
all right. But that you didn't have to worry about what appeared on it.
You said Tabasco.
There you go. More Tabasco. Well, that's too much thinking.
Or Tejas Pete.
60-second story game. You got your timer? 60-second story game. You got your timer? Lamar's going to go first on this as well. We're going to do scariest times driving.
All right, can I see the timer so I know?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Scariest time driving. Kevin Stewart, who is not here but was one of our biggest influences in college. When I say influence, I mean like negative. He had a little eclipse. And
all-terrain eclipse.
The all-terrain eclipse, yeah. It wasn't actually all-wheel drive. They made some, but his, we just called it an all-terrain eclipse. And we were coming home, and we're coming from Oneonta down towards Springville, and there is a hairpin turn, if you've ever been through there. Mm-hmm. And it's coming down. Well, it's going uphill if you're going the other way. We're just coming downhill. And he got on it a lot quicker than he thought. And I said, we're never going to make it. We're never going to make it. And we made it. And when I got done, I was pushing so hard. He said, Lamar, I'm not lying. I looked down, we was running 50. And
around
I know
the hairpin.
The hairpin. And I know that people drove it, said they won't, it didn't happen. He said that, and I'm not doubting that's how fast we was going. I thought I was going to meet Jesus at that guardrail right there.
He is standing there waiting.
Yeah, I thought, well, that's where I'm going to meet Jesus, right there.
If there's anything anybody knows about a hairpin, there's a reason why it's a hairpin. It's because the elevation change. And this is my engine. This engineering.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Right,
we got elevation change. Mm-hmm. Elevation change vertically is too extreme to make a nice, easy gradual. So in order to get that vertical difference, you have to make a hairpin turn. Mm-hmm. So that vertical difference is normally made up on the outside rail there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would have hit that outside rail, you
would have
made
not have landed
that.
Yet.
Still be falling because you can see from here to the about the Florida Peninsula off that mountain up there.
Yeah,
it is way down.
Well, that's
there.
Not far from y'all.
No, I go down that one quite often.
It's scary for real.
Go around it at 50.
I ain't going around it at 50.
In an early 90s
can help
eclipse.
It. Big O, you got your scariest time driving?
I'm ready, Bob.
All right, go.
So, friend of ours, we went to school with at Auburn, lived in Delaware. She flies in. She's flying into Atlanta. She calls us, hey, I got to be picked up from the airport. Well, me and Lamar get up and that morning, and we're going to go pick her up, and we have no money. My dad luckily had me a Chevron gas card that he said, here, don't use this. So I'd buy my gas with cash, whatever. Well, we're out of money, so Daddy loved Jody, so he wants to go get her. I swiped that card. We filled it up with gas, and we filled one of them old 2-liter jugs up with sweet tea. We had a jug of sweet tea in the middle. We lit out for Atlanta. Well, when we come out of Atlanta, out of Auburn, there was a sign that said Auburn, or it said Opelika 5, Atlanta 150. I said, man, Opelika's getting killed. Lamar said, man, they're playing Atlanta. So we get over to Atlanta, and we come in. This is the part that's scary. We come into the airport. We're walking down to find Jody, and there's a wall of metal detectors. I've got two pair of pliers and a pocket knife. He's got a pocket knife and probably two pair of pliers in his pocket. I said, well, we're going to jail. But we didn't.
Didn't go to jail.
The other thing that he didn't get to, I thought, was the scariest part, if we hadn't found Jody, because we pulled in that parking deck.
With no
money. They'll let you go in it without no money, but they won't let you get out of it. So we had to get Jody, or we were still going to be living in Atlanta.
Well, you had the pliers. You could take the gate apart.
For Atlanta, though. They're winning big.
Yeah, they were winning big that day. They were beating Oklahoma.
50-5. Oh, Oklahoma's getting killed. Phil, you ready?
You want to go? You want me to go?
Go ahead.
You want me to go? I got scammed into buying a 4-wheeler when I was about 11. I had to have it. It's really my fault. Mm-hmm. My grandfather told me it is a piece of junk. You don't want it. But it was bigger CC than the one I had, so I had to have it. Well, the problem with that 4-wheeler, he couldn't even fix it. He can fix anything, is the throttle would never come back down. Once you got it up, it would never come back down. Well, I was going to fix it. I got so mad riding it because I was really mad at myself for buying it. And I was driving down my driveway, a church driveway, down a pasture, and I said, I'm going to hold it wide open until it explodes. And I got down there, and we had a cattle crossing close to the house, and it had a little dip in it. There's a 4-strand barbed wire fence over here on the left side.
I mean, I was bringing the heat down that driveway. And when I hit that cattle cross, it jumped. And when it jumped, it flew over to, off the driveway. And I was literally going down that barbed wire fence. I had pulled my left leg over, my right arm over. I was holding it with the right hand. And that barbed wire fence was just eating those tires and the side of that four-wheeler alive. Scaredest time driving.
Scaredest time.
Scary. And on top of that, if you tore that barbed wire fence up, you're going to have to build a barbed wire fence when you got well enough to.
But it stayed intact, and somehow I got out of that without a scratch. Mm.
That's impressive. All right, you ready? We were at Blake Metter's house, and Blake had gotten a dirt bike, me and Mr. Reed. And Reeder was one of those boys that wasn't going to be outdone. Well, Blake was riding that dirt bike, and he was jumping over the terrace rows, and Reed got up there and he said, "I'm gonna drive that thing." And I said, "Reed, I don't think you're ready. You ain't ever really been on." He said, "I can do it." I said, "All right, man, I'm gonna sit back and watch." Well, he took off on that thing and he was gonna hop a couple of them terrace rows, and he's goosing it. Wham, 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 wham. He went over the terrace row and out of sight. And I heard wham, wham, wham. You just hear it gone. I look at Blake, he looks at me, and I said, "He's killed himself. He's dead." We take off running over there. And we go, and he's in the bushes, in the hedgerows. Reed, you all right? He comes crawling out, and he said, "It ain't got no brakes."
He was pulling the clutch.
Oh, man. Yeah, it brakes out on the left side.
I said, "Yeah, that's important information, Blake, so I forgot to tell you."
I was scared for Reed. It was not me the scariest time driving. But
I get that, though. Like a bicycle, if you used to ride a mountain bike, your left or right will stop you.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Not
on
that
motorcycle.
Not
that one. I ain't got no brakes. Well, y'all have given us a lot of your time today, and there's no telling what's fixing to happen.
No telling.
We'll probably keep the camera running and capture some more stuff as well.
Maybe even get a chitlin.
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Oh,
but good. I did it last year. You can have mine this
year.
Yeah, I guarantee they don't taste any better this year.
Brian's doing an extra good job.
I've sat here this whole time watching him, and I'm talking about laboring.
See, look at that. Oh, yeah. Look at
that's
right there.
That's as fine a chitlin as I've ever
seen.
Oh, my goodness.
Why don't you bring some over here and let them look at it real quick.
What if you had a chitlin
before
like
turn this?
No.
Oh.
Oh.
Is it clean?
No.
That's good and clean.
Really.
No, it ain't clean at all.
It's as clean as a chitlin really needs to be.
Don't put that on my thing.
Don't put it on my thing. Here, let
just
me.
Just hold it. We're about done.
It's not going to waste it. Hold on. We're about done.
Let it where you can look at it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm good.
Oh. I wouldn't want to take that close to that camera.
That camera's still on.
You can probably smell it through that camera.
Well, before we sign off, you got a little something you want to share. Share with us.
Oh, well, this is. My hat is Van Family Farms in Springville. We just opened. Last year was our second year. We got a little pumpkin patch we do in the fall. We're trying to add some stuff this year and grow a little bit more. Try to keep it pretty farm-related. There's, you know, most of the tractors we use for a pumpkin patch hay ride is the tractors that I baled hay with. You're going to be in a hay field. There'll be hay bales out there. You know, we have animals, and, you know, it's kind of just a good day to come.
We have corn dogs.
I don't have – we have food vendors because, you know, it's
– funnel cakes?
I would like to see if Brian is going to do a food truck and have a chitlin surprise. Surprise, mm-hmm. It's chitlins.
Mm. Surprise, it's chitlins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll have food trucks. We'll have, you know, hopefully this year sunflowers and pumpkins and – you know, just playground equipment and animals.
How do they find you? So they want to learn more or get more information?
Van Family Farms on Facebook and Instagram.
That's V-A-N-N?
Two N's.
Family
yep.
Farms.
You can hear it when I pronounce it. Van.
Van.
I heard it that time. See, yep. If you're not paying attention,
you don't. You don't. A lot of times you think it's the one N, like the car, but when van, you are, you know. Mm. Mm. You know.
I got it that time. That's good. Well, that's going to do it today from Center, Alabama.
The Nation.
This is the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Big O.
And I'm still Lamar.
We'll see you next time.